Amen. Let's turn over to hymn number 351. Hymn number 351, Tell It to Jesus. Are you weary? You may be seated.
The book of John. Chapter number.
We'll begin our reading in John chapter number 16 and verse number 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. For ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Father, thank you so much for this day, and Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here this evening that took time to come and took time to hear from you. And Lord, I ask that you would accomplish that this evening, that you would speak to our hearts from your word, and I ask that you would help us to be changed, to become more like you, and that you would help us to honor and glorify you in everything that is said and done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of weeks ago, when we were here, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we started in chapter number 15 and toward the middle of chapter 15, and then began in chapter number 16 as we got into up to verse number 4. And so, just by way of review, to catch us back up to where we are in chapter number 16, Jesus here in chapters 14 and 15 and 16 and 13 as well, and then chapter 17, these five chapters are some of Jesus' longest discourse that he gives to his disciples. And so he talks about many things, but included in those things is that he will go and that he will come back and he will send the Comforter, which he has referenced already in chapter 14. And he gave commandment to his disciples that they would love one another, and in so doing that they would produce fruit as a productive disciple. That is the goal of a disciple, is to produce fruit in the Christian life. And so he speaks of all these things, and when we come to chapter 15 at the end, where we were a couple of weeks ago, he begins to talk about persecution, and that the world would hate them simply because of who they were. Because they decided to follow God, the world would hate them, because the world and Christianity are incompatible. They are two extremely opposite worldviews, as we've been seeing even in Sunday school the past number of weeks. And so because they are incompatible, then those who are followers of the world will not like those who are followers of Christianity. And that will cause trouble for the disciples. That will cause trouble specifically for the disciples very soon. We see in chapter number 16, the beginning here, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And so we see that because those people who decided to follow Christ were following him, there would be repercussions from the world. They would be cast out of the synagogues, which would have been some of the highest form of embarrassment in that day, to be kicked out of the synagogue. And so they would have been kicked out, and not only just that, but Jesus says that some of them might even be killed. They would be killed. Their lives would be taken simply because they were followers of Jesus Christ. And yet, in spite of these things, Jesus says in the end of chapter 15 and into chapter 16 that in spite of those things, they could still remain stable in their walk with God. Even in the midst, in the face of persecution, in the midst, in the face of embarrassment, in the face of being excommunicated, in the face of being killed, they could still be stable in their walk with God. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter. One who would come alongside. That's what the word comforter means. To come alongside of. And would be a help to these disciples in these trying times. And so then, now as we move into verse number 4, as we continue and consider the rest of chapter number 16, we see that, as we understand the timing of chapter number 16, that Jesus is very, very shortly going to be killed. He's very shortly going to be put on the cross, and it's within a matter of 2 days, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that he will now be put to death for just being the Son of God, right? For being the King of the Jews, and so we see that that he is trying to prepare his disciples for his death and for his departure from this world. That's what he's trying to do here in these chapters, and so specifically he gets into it here in chapter number 16, and so Jesus' absence. We see the reason why Jesus' death is important, one reason why, and it's because that Jesus' death and his absence give way for the Spirit of God to come. Right? This is what Jesus says here in verse number 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And so we see that Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples. Why would they need to be prepared? Well, they were pretty sad at this idea of losing Jesus physically. And with good reason, right? These people had given everything for Jesus, right? Even just specifically, I think about Peter and Andrew and James and John, where it says that they left all and they followed him. And certainly many of the other disciples, all of them, would have given up everything so that they could follow this man. So that they could travel where he traveled. And so that they could even travel sometimes where he didn't travel. Where they would be sent out from him. And they would go into parts of the world that they had not been before. And they would do miracles that like they had not ever done before. And they would preach the message of the kingdom of God. And so they had left everything to do that. They left family. They left income. They left houses. They left the earthly possessions that they had. Why? So that they could follow this teacher, this man who claimed to be the Messiah. They left all to follow him. And now, only a short time later, because I can't imagine the disciples probably thought that this was a lifetime thing. We're going to leave everything, and for the rest of our lives, we're going to follow this man around physically as he preaches, and even as he gets old, we're going to follow him and we're going to help him. But now, only 3 years later, Jesus is about to leave, and the disciples' hearts are filled with sorrow. Verse number 7-6, it says that, because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. They were saddened by this idea that Jesus was about to leave them. But Jesus tries to encourage them, because if the thing is that if Jesus didn't die, the Spirit could not come. The Spirit couldn't come, which is a good thing that the Spirit would come, right? It's good for us to have the Holy Spirit. A number of things I think about is that that the Spirit is involved in the work of salvation, and so it's necessary for us to have the seal that the Spirit gives to us in salvation. It's necessary for us to have that. But Jesus says we couldn't have that if Jesus would continue on this earth. And the disciples specifically couldn't have that if he was to continue in this earth physically. And so he said, it's necessary for me to go away so that the Spirit can come. But why does the Spirit need to come? We see because he's part of the salvation process, but also because he wants to do a great work in this world. Right? Verse number 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The Spirit would do a work in this world. He would convict those that would not follow him. He would convict those that would not follow Christ. He would try to fix their understanding of who Christ was. But Jesus had to die before the Spirit could come so he could do that. The Spirit had to do a great work in this world, but also the Spirit had to do a great work in the disciples, right? The disciples needed to have a great work done in their lives as well. Notice in verse number 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And so we find this, as Jesus would leave this earth, the Spirit would come and would reveal things specifically to the disciples that they had not heard from Jesus physically before. And we see that the Spirit would do a great work through the disciples' lives in the book of Acts in such a way that they had not seen before, right? Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost. The Spirit had not worked that way before, but He would. And He could because Jesus would leave. Because Jesus died and because He would go into heaven to be with the Father, then the Spirit could do that great work. The Spirit could be involved in those things in the book of Acts, in the special ways that He worked in that time period. Now, some people will use this verse to claim that we can still continue to receive some kind of revelation from God. But we understand from Scripture that Scripture is what we need. And that the canon of Scripture is closed, and God chooses not to work that way anymore. That is not to say that He can't work that way, but He chooses not to. We have a more sure word of prophecy, as the book of Peter says. And so this is specifically for the disciples, that they would learn things from the Spirit that they had not learned yet from Jesus. But they could only learn those things if Jesus leaves. And so we see that if the Spirit does not come, then He cannot work in the world, and He cannot work in the disciples. And so we have to ask ourselves this question: does that make Jesus' death any easier? Maybe a little bit, but even the disciples still struggled with it. Verse number 16, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of His disciples among themselves, what is this? They were so confused, and we won't take time to read them again. But verses 17, 18, and 19, the disciples are still confused about the things that Jesus is saying, which is a pretty common thing for the disciples, right? It was pretty often that they did not understand the things that Jesus was saying, even though they were His closest followers, and even though they spent the most time with Him, they were still confused, and even they were still confused up until a couple of days before His death. And so we see that they were confused, and Jesus tries to explain it to them again, tries to make them make it more clear for them. Verse number 19, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? He says, are you still confused about this? Are you still inquiring? Are you still questioning? Does this still not make sense to you, even though I've spent much time on this subject? He goes in verse number 20 and 21, 22. He gives an illustration. He gives the illustration of a woman who is in travail from labor, and she's about to have a child. And obviously, I've never experienced this personally, but we understand that the pain that women go through in childbearing. That's a difficult, difficult thing, right? It's been said that that's the closest that a human can get to death, right? The pain that is experienced there. But when that child is held, that pain is forgotten, right? And that's the illustration that Jesus is giving here. And so then He applies that to His disciples. He says, "And now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you." He says, it's going to be sorrowful while I'm dead. And that's what He's specifically talking about, is His death. It's going to be pretty sorrowful when you see me die. When you see me on the cross, when you see me taken off of the cross, when you see me laid in the grave, that is going to be very difficult for you. But you will see me again. I'm going to rise from the dead. And time and time again, the disciples did not get this. And I think that they still really didn't get it, even until after they saw His resurrected body. But He said, you will be happy again. You will have joy again when you see me again. And so He says that Jesus' death, though it is difficult, there are some things that make it better. And the effects of Jesus' resurrection are great. And we see some of these things. The joy that is given to the disciples is a great joy. A great joy. He says there in verse number 22, your joy no man taketh from you. That's a pretty good joy. No man can take it from you. You're sorrowful, sure, because I'm about to die, but you will have joy. And you'll have not just a simple kind of joy over something that is fleeting, but you'll have such a lasting joy. And He says there that no man will take it from you when you've seen the resurrected me. When you've seen me in my resurrected and glorified body, you will have a joy that no man can take from you. Not only is there joy that the disciples would experience, but also there was a great provision that the disciples would experience in a new way. Verse number 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. We see that Jesus is now changing how the disciples were provided for. As they followed Christ on this earth, literally as they followed him around, they would simply ask him, and he would provide for them physically. Jesus would make sure that they had food. Jesus would make sure that they had water, a place to sleep. But Jesus says now that after he dies and after the Spirit comes, they would no more ask Jesus for things, but they would ask the Father through the Spirit. He said, "You will ask the Father in my name, and he will give it to you." He will give it to you. Why? Because now they were not petitioning Jesus physically, but they were using his name to petition the Father. He changed it. And Jesus said that this was a greater thing than they had experienced before. "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." He continues on here. "And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me." Verse number 28, "I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." So we see that because Jesus is present with the Father in heaven, that we can ask the Father in Jesus' name, just as he taught us to do, and he would provide for us in a great way. That he would provide for us. Why? Because he was now with the Father. So we see that there was joy, there was provision, and then lastly we see that there was great victory. There was great victory because we have the Spirit. Verse number 29, the disciples say something very interesting to me anyways. His disciples said to him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." As if the miracles weren't enough for them, right? As if the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't enough. As if the calming of the sea wasn't enough. As if the healing of the demoniac wasn't enough. As if the many miracles and the many other teachings. But for some reason, John clues us in that this is what convinced them that he was from heaven. Just this saying. That just blows my mind. Maybe I'm just having a good time with it, and that's fine. I enjoyed it. Verse number 31, we'll move on. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" Jesus kind of pushes back on it. "Is this really the thing that makes you believe in me? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." He says there's a coming an hour very quickly, where every man is going to be scattered. And it's going to seem like I'm alone, disciples, because you're the ones that are going to be scattering, right? And we think about the disciples and specifically even Peter, right, that would deny the Lord and the rest of them would be not found anywhere near him for some time. And so he said, "You all will be scattered, and it's going to seem like I'm alone, but I'm not, because I have the Father with me." And this is why he's saying all these things. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He said, you're going to experience some very difficult times. And he covered this a little bit in chapter 15, as we did a couple of weeks ago. But he said, you're going to experience some very difficult times in this world. And as you think about the history of the disciples, and as they would go on, and 11 of them would be martyred, and some of them in very grotesque ways. And you see the trying times that they faced as they after Jesus died and resurrected and ascended. You see the things that they went through. They certainly had a difficult time. But Jesus overcame the world, and so they could be of good cheer. 1 John chapter number 5, if you would turn there, please. We have some application for us tonight. 1 John chapter number 5. And verse number 4. 1 John chapter number 5. Jesus has overcome the world, but is that victory available to us? Is the victory over sin available to us? Is the victory over the things of this world available to those who are his disciples? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so I want to ask you tonight, how is your faith? That's our application this evening. Are you growing in your faith? Or is your faith at the same level that it was when you simply accepted him? It takes faith to do that. And so, but has your faith grown from there to a great faith? Because that's how we overcome the world. And do not be mistaken, we need to overcome the world. Because the world will put us in tribulation, and the world will put us in difficulties, but we can overcome the world, and it's through faith. And so how is your faith? When was the last time that you stepped out on something that you weren't really sure about? We said, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm trusting you to make this. I'm trusting you to make this happen. Right? The amount of faith that we have is necessary. A great amount of faith is necessary for us to overcome the world, even our faith. And so, are you in difficult and trying times? Are you? It could be possible this evening. I would encourage you that you would have faith. Have faith. Be of good cheer, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can have victory in this world by having faith. Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, thank you for the book of John. And I ask that you might help us this evening, that you would help us to be of good cheer. Lord, you've given us the Spirit of God, which helps us in our infirmities. And Lord, the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. And Lord, he helps us. And we understand that as we have faith, that we can overcome the world, that we can be of good cheer. And so, Father, I ask that you might help us this evening during this time of invitation, that you would help us to evaluate our level of faith in you, that you would help us to overcome our difficult and trying times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to stand to our feet, as the piano begins to play, Brother Charlie will sing the first verse of Just As I Am.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God,
maybe see this time, but
all right, if you